This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. You may hear no or nothing at all from hiring managers when you look for work. And as this happens, you might start to get discouraged. John Tarnoff is here to talk about how to build confidence in your job search. He's a coach, a speaker, and an author who helps mid and late career professionals achieve meaningful careers. John's latest book is Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Career Over 50. And he joins us from Los Angeles, California. Well, let's get going, John. Do most job seekers struggle with confidence when looking for work?
I think so. I think it's a kind of a natural condition for us as we've been bred by the hiring market, the hiring recruiting market. There is this natural tendency I think we all have to kind of go into survival mode when we're looking for a job, particularly if we have been fired, let go, reorged out of our previous position. There are a lot of conflicting feelings going on. So it's challenging.
Can the length of a job search also affect your confidence?
Absolutely. I think that's something that I see a lot. If you run out of steam after, could be as short as a month, but typically when you get to the 3 to 4 to 5 month point and you are not getting close to a job, then the panic really does start to set in. You know, even if you have some savings still in the bank, even if you have some small side income coming in, if you're going for a full-time W-2 position and you're not scoring, it can be really, really difficult.
How does a candidate who lacks confidence come across to a hiring manager, John?
Well, just imagine yourself in that hiring manager's position. If you walk into that interview and you're not looking the person in the eye, if your handshake is not firm, friendly, you're not smiling, you're not clearly eager to be there, then that sends an automatic body language signal to the hiring manager or recruiter that you're nervous. Now, in fairness, they should be expecting that there's going to be a certain nervousness factor for everyone who comes in to sit opposite them in that job interview. So a good hiring manager, good recruiter is going to make allowances for that. This is, after all, what they do. They should be trained to be looking beyond the nervousness. They should be looking to put you at ease in the interview so that you can come across with your best performance in that interview, because at the end of the day, they do want to fill that position with a qualified candidate, and you may be that candidate, and they may recognize that, well, just because they're nervous in the interview doesn't mean that they can't do the job or aren't the right candidate.
You've got some tips for how to build confidence in your job search. Before we talk about those, just one last question about confidence. How can it affect your job search, John, if you're experiencing a lack of confidence?
I think that when you ask that question, what comes up for me is kind of a general sense of fog, perhaps we should put it in that way, kind of brain fog around, am I doing the right thing? Am I going about this the right way? I've kind of done what I've always been told to do. I've updated my resume. I think it's in the right format. I've had a couple of people take a look at it. I've even had some people who I may know who are in the recruiting and hiring field take a look at it and give me a a few tips, cleared it up. But because this is not something that we do every day, and because it's something that we generally dread having to do, that is looking for a new job, it becomes kind of this unpleasant, icky, uncomfortable situation overall. So as a result of that, because we don't feel comfortable, we don't feel like this is something we are masters at, that is looking for a job, finding a job, landing a job, we want to get this over with as soon as possible. And so we're kind of holding our nose to a certain degree about this process. It's like, we really don't want to have to do this. So I think that contributes to the lack of confidence, the sense of, oh, I feel so uncomfortable in this situation. I just want to get it over with.
Well, let's talk about how to build confidence in a job search. One of the first tips I know that you share is to recognize as a candidate that you're a valuable asset. And how does this recognition help you, John?
Well, I think, thank you for starting there, because I think it really does begin with an appreciation of what it is that you bring to the table in the work that you do. And, you know, when you're starting out, it's hard to know that. You're kind of looking for an opportunity to demonstrate that you can do the job, that you can learn the job, that you are an adult, you are a professional, you know, you do have an education, you do have some skills, you're willing to learn more. That's a great attitude to have as an entry-level professional in your 20s and early 30s. But as you gain more experience, you have that to rely on. So what happens, however, in a job is that you kind of lose sight of that. You can lose sight of that because you're so close to the work that you're doing and the day-to-day routine and the interactions and collaborations that you're doing with your coworkers and your leadership that you kind of lose sight of exactly what it is that you do that's so valuable because you're part of this larger effort. If you're in sales, it's a lot clearer because you're either making deals or you're not. You're either bringing in revenue or you're not. So let's put sales on a side burner and really just talk about all sorts of varieties of knowledge work. You know, it can be hard to see after a certain amount of time which of all of these things that you can do are the things that you do best. So for me, the process of building confidence in terms of getting a new job is to really take a step back around what it is that you do, have been doing, and start to analyze the impact that you're making, how it feels to do these various tasks that you do habitually in your day, in your job every day, and start to build a profile for yourself that goes to that value. Because what you want to do now going out is get very specific about that niched set of skills, talents, abilities, experiences that you can deliver in your next position. And you want to be looking at the jobs that you want to do and that you can do best, not so much at the jobs that you can do. And I think that's a dangerous temptation that we all fall into, to submit our resumes broadly as opposed to focusing more narrowly on the best possible opportunities.
I want to talk more about that. Let's take a break, John. When we come back, John Tarnoff will continue to share his advice on how to build confidence in your job search. Stay with us. Your resume is one of the best ways to show your value. How well does your resume do this? Talk to the experts at Top Resume. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Get actionable tips to improve your resume right away, or hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the Max List studio. I'm talking with John Tarnoff. He's a coach, a speaker, and an author who helps mid and late career professionals achieve meaningful careers. John's latest book is Boomer Reinvention, How to Create Your Dream Career Over 50. And he joins us from Los Angeles, California. Well, John, before the break, we were talking about how to build confidence in your job search. And at the end of the first segment, you made two important points I'd like to explore more. One was to get a terrific way to improve your confidence is to get clarity about what you do best. And the other is to apply for the jobs that you're not only that you do well, your best work at. In other words, don't apply for jobs you could do. Apply for the jobs where you can really shine. Let's talk about those two points. How do you recommend listeners get clear about what they do best?
There's a Japanese term called ikigai, I-K-I-G-A-I, and it is a way of looking at how to evaluate your life purpose. And it has been reinterpreted for us in the job context as four criteria for what you are looking for, how you're positioning yourself in your job search. And those four criteria are what I do best, what I love to do, what the world needs, and what I can get paid for. So the first thing I would recommend people do is do four lists and answer those four questions based on your job history to date. And that's going to help you get a leg up on this question of clarity, because it will probably give you some intersections that you're going to want to pursue when you're not only looking for open positions, but more importantly, when you're engaging with your network, because your network, as they say, is your net worth, particularly as a more experienced, older professional. You're going to find fewer listed, posted job opportunities that really fit those four ikigai criteria. And you're going to want to spend more time in conversation with your network, your existing network, and new people as well, to find those opportunities.
How do you take the answers to those four questions, what you're good at, what you love doing, what the world needs, and what you can get paid for, and act on that information when you reach out to your network? How does that help you both connect with your colleagues and improve your confidence, John?
Well, it's really an iterative process in the sense that you are taking this process from the beginning, which is, let's say you have your lists, right? You've done this little analysis. Your next step is to go to the 2, 3, 4, 5 people who are closest to you, whether these are people that you've worked with in the past, family and friends, roommates from school, whomever those people might be, and say, look, I'm in this situation. I'm trying to figure out how I should be best using my time as I apply for and find this new job. I've done this little analysis. What do you think? You think I'm accurate about this? Does this reflect your understanding of my strengths and weaknesses and areas that I should be concentrating in? What are your thoughts? And one of the things that I think is important to do in your job search process is engage with people on this level and on another level, which is what's called the informational interview. And this is the meeting that you set up with another professional. They may not have a job to offer. They may be in a company that you're interested in working at some point down the road. They may be someone with a similar background to your background. They may be someone who is working in a position that you would like to work in someday. And whether it's through mutual connections, or whether you are able to reach out, and LinkedIn, of course, is the best way to do this. You want to try to get into a dialogue with this person to learn more about who they are, what they do, how they got to their position, and to start getting some feedback from them based on your background about what you should be doing, what you should be concentrating on. Do you have the right skills and knowledge and point of view about where the business is going? What ideas could they have for you? There's a great saying that if you ask for a job, people will give you advice. But if you ask for advice, people may likely give you a job, in the sense that if you're out there as a curious, engaged professional trying to better themselves in the work that they do and set the stage for the future, people might just let their guard down, engage with you more because you're not asking anything of them. And that might lead to a referral. And that referral might actually have an opportunity to share with you.
What happens to your confidence as a job seeker when you engage in these conversations?
Well, I think your confidence goes up. And I think this is certainly the experience of many, many people that I talk to. So you want to apply this growth mindset idea to the job interview process where, you know, you're going in there to share your value again, back to sharing your value. And in the sense of this being an iterative process, you want to build on the previous experience that you had. If you keep getting up to bat and do this analysis of your performance each time you come out of the interview, you're going to do better. Each time out, you're going to do better. You're going to feel more relaxed. You're going to understand how to better answer the questions that they're asking you. At the beginning, you may feel awkward. You may feel like you blew it, and maybe you did. But guess what? You'll get another chance to go back in and do better.
One last question, John. I just want to get back to this point you made at the end of the first segment, which is you should apply for the jobs you can do your best work at, not for the jobs that you can do. Why is that important, and how does that help a job seeker with their confidence?
Well, it's going to make your hit rate a lot better because you're kind of doing their job for them before you even walk in the door. You know, you're going to be closer on these interviews than you would be if you were applying for a position that you're totally wrong for, that they're totally not looking for. And I mean, even if you even get into the interview from that perspective. And if I may, I'll just tell you a story about a client of mine who was hated his job, wanted to get out of his job, kept looking at job boards every night after work. I joked with him that he was using job boards like job board porn. He was, you know, it was a very kind of a really depressing experience for him because he would look at these job postings and he would send these PDFs to me of the job descriptions. And he would say, what do you think about this one? What do you think about that one? I said, get off the board, because this is a guy with 2 advanced degrees. And he's looking at jobs that are asking for 7 to 15 years experience. This guy's got 25 years experience. They're not going to bring him in for an interview. He's much too overqualified. But if he were to continue to apply to these jobs and get turned down, not even get into the interview, that's a really depressing experience. Whereas if he were applying to jobs that were looking for senior level experience and whole other conversation, this gets into the hidden job market, the job positions that are out there by referral, not by job posting. But if he were able to find those positions and focus on those positions, then he's going to be a lot closer to A, having a positive experience in the interview because it's really at his level. And if he doesn't make it to the final cut, it's because he's not the right fit. But it's going to give him a sense that he's on the right track and not that he's beating his head against the wall and he doesn't know why he can. And this is a common fiction that a lot of people pursue. It's like, well, I can do the job. I mean, just because I have 25 years experience doesn't mean I can't do the job from a for a 10-year experience job. But guess what? They don't want you if you have 25 years experience. It's not that you can do it. Of course you can do it, but they want someone who is probably younger, probably cheaper, obviously only has 7 to 10 years experience. So that's what they're looking for. Why are you trying to fit a square peg into a round hole?
It's been a terrific conversation, John. Now tell us what's next for you.
Well, I am having a great time working with my clients, writing my blog, getting out into the community, working, engaging with people on LinkedIn, and trying to help people find more purpose and meaning as they age and have great careers for as long as they want to work.
Well, I know listeners can learn more about you and your blog by visiting your website, johntarnoff.com/blog, and that you also invite listeners to connect with you on LinkedIn. And as always, I hope if they do so, they'll mention that they heard you on Find Your Dream Job. Now, John, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about how to build confidence in your job search?
Sure. Well, this will not be a surprise to anyone from what I've been saying today, but the one thing which I tell people all the time is stop chasing job openings and start building relationships. Because it really does come down to the relationships you have out in the community, both the close relationships that you've built over the years, and use those relationships to meet new people in your field who can connect you to opportunities. And particularly as a mid to late career professional, that's how you're going to get your next position.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Lena Cernoff. She's the host of the podcast, Girl, You're Hired. Her show gives you the interview tips you need to land your dream job. Previously, Lena worked at Wix, Google, and LinkedIn. You've been invited to talk to a hiring manager. Congratulations. Your odds of getting the job have improved, but you're still competing against 3 to 5 other candidates, perhaps even more. How can you make sure you get the offer? Join us next Wednesday when Lena Cernoff and I talk about what makes you special and how to stand out in a job interview. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Huff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin-Berry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts. And our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.